The store is running on fumes, lights humming, shelves half-faced, and every lane backed up. Jordan stands at the service desk with a smile that does not reach his eyes, watching Maya ring customers while three older staff push carts and glare. They all saw the way he used to lean over her register. They all saw how fast she went from new hire to favorite. Now they see the distance, short answers, cold shoulders, tight jaws. He pretends the schedule on the screen is just numbers, not proof. Maya is still on the prime shifts. She still gets the soft assignments while others drag pallets until close. The breakup behind the stockroom door is only a few days old, and the sound of it still lives in his chest. Every clipped response from the team feels like a warning. Someone is going to say something. In a company this size, favoritism is not just gossip. It is ammunition. The trouble started on a night when the store should have been closed already. Three registers stayed open because customers kept drifting in at the last minute. Half the floor was dark to save power. A spill near aisle 7 had dried into a sticky smear that no one had time to mop. The air smelled like old coffee and cardboard from broken down boxes stacked too high near the back. Jordan knew they were short. Two people had called out. One was on approved leave. Head office had frozen overtime again. It was the kind of shift where he should have been jumping on a register, barking gentle orders, moving freight, keeping the place from falling apart. Instead, he stood between the front lanes and the customer service counter, eyes flicking back to Maya. She moved like she had been there for years. Clean scan, tight bagging, a calm voice even when a card declined or a coupon would not scan. She knew how to soften a customer with one sentence. He remembered training her on her first day, guiding her through the codes and the reset keys, watching how fast she picked it up. He had told himself then that he was only impressed with her work. He had also been the one who gave her first pick at schedules. The software made it easy. A few clicks, a drag of a block. Maya on evening shifts that came with the small shift premium. Maya stacked on Friday and Saturday where the hours sat. Maya on customer service, even though she was only a few months in, while others with more time stayed down on floor recovery. He had reasons for all of it. She showed up on time. She stayed late without complaint. She did not disappear into the break room for long stretches. If anyone asked, he could defend every choice. Still, when he looked at the schedule now, he did not see reasons. He saw patterns that could read like proof. The night their relationship started, the store felt just like this. Thin staff, heavy air, lights buzzing while the clock pushed past closing. He remembered hearing the security gates roll down, the last customer gone, the speakers still playing low music because no one had turned them off yet. He and Maya had been in the front, counting tills and closing out drawers. She had joked that she practically lived here. He had told her there were worse places. It was an automatic comment, the kind any manager made. She had looked up at him a second too long, eyes tired but bright, and something shifted. The counters were stacked with money bags and receipt tape, and the entire store was theirs. It happened slowly at first. Long talks after close, shared complaints about district emails that never ended. He let her vent about rent, about taking care of her younger brother, about how she needed the hours to keep a roof over them. He told her more than he should have about his own frustrations with corporate targets and surprise audits. The line between boss and worker thinned each time they stayed late. Then one night, in the glow of the front monitors, she curled against his chest in the stockroom doorway. He had felt the weight of it, the risk standing right there with them, and he had still put his arms around her. It felt like a relief after months of carrying the store alone, like letting down a guard that never dropped. Their shift pattern changed after that, not on paper, not all at once, but in small, careful steps. He made sure she was scheduled when he was. He said it was because she had become reliable on closes. In quiet moments, he slipped her easy tasks and let others carry heavier loads. When she asked for one Saturday off for her brother's event, he shuffled the board until it fit, then shrugged it off as nothing. The others noticed. They always noticed. Long glances from the older cashier who had been there 8 years. The muttered comment from a floor associate about management pets. The way conversation stopped when he walked into the break room. He told himself they would have said the same things if it had been any other strong worker getting good shifts. He did not let himself stay on that thought for long. The breakup came hard and clumsy, squeezed between pallets and boxes in the stockroom, with the doors humming from the cooler units nearby. Maya's voice was low but sharp. She said she could not handle the way he looked at her on the floor, and then avoided her off the clock. She said it felt like he wanted the closeness without any of the risk, that she was the one putting her name on the line while he still had his title and salary. Jordan tried to explain. He talked about the company's dating policy, about how supervisors were not supposed to mix with direct reports. He said he had to protect his job. He said if anything came out, both of them could be hurt. He could hear his own words and hated how they sounded, like policy sheets and training slides, not like a person who cared about her. Maya pulled her arm away when he reached for her. The movement was quick and final. She told him she was done, not with the job, she needed the job, but with the late night talks and the quiet touches by the back door. She walked out of the stockroom, grabbed her vest from the hook, and went back to the floor without looking back. After that, everything on the surface stayed the same, and nothing did. He still had to approve her time. He still had to sign off her shift changes. Her name still sat in the premium slots on the schedule board, because to change everything at once would draw more attention. On paper, she was still a strong worker with solid performance. In the aisles, she was distant. She avoided being alone with him. If he stepped toward her lane, she found a reason to move past him. She swapped tasks with others so she did not have to be near the service desk when he was up there. Every time she shifted away, another person in a blue vest watched the space between them and drew their own story. The whispers grew. In the break room, phones lit up over cold food. Someone joked that Maya had the golden schedule. Someone else laughed and wondered what she had done to earn all that. A third voice said nothing at all, just watched Jordan's name on the posted rota, and took in every overlap with hers. That night, with the store straining and his nerves shot, Jordan could feel those eyes on his back. He tried to bury himself in tasks. He signed voids. He approved returns. He answered radio calls about missing stock and irate customers. All the while, his gaze kept cutting to the front. Maya did not look at him once. Her face stayed polite with strangers and blank with him. During a brief lull, the older cashier, Denise, stepped up to the counter with a stack of receipts. "Jordan," she said, voice careful, "when are we getting more coverage for nights? Folks are getting tired." He knew it was about more than coverage. He could hear it in the pause, in the way she glanced from him to Maya's lane. He gave the standard answer about budget and headcount, about how he was pushing district for more hours. Her mouth tightened. "Some people seem to be doing fine with their hours," she said. She let the words hang, then walked away before he could respond. He felt the hit in his chest, not because it was loud, but because it was quiet. People only spoke that way when they already had allies. Later, near closing, he passed the open office door and caught a glimpse inside. Two associates sat at the small desk, a tablet between them. On the screen sat the company's internal portal, the section for policies and reports. He saw the words ethics and concern in a menu before they noticed him and shut it. The room went too still. "You two on break?" he asked. "Yeah," one of them said. "Just checking our pay stubs." They would not meet his eyes. He nodded and moved on, heart thudding, knowing they were lying and knowing exactly what menu they had been reading. By the time the last customer left and the doors locked, the store was quiet in the wrong way. Not just tired, watchful. Maya counted her drawer without a word. Denise wiped down her lane, movements slow and deliberate. In the distance, someone laughed softly in the break room, the kind of laugh that came after a story about someone else. Jordan shut off the overhead music and stood for a moment in the dim front end. He could feel the weight of every schedule he had made in the past 3 months, every shift he had shaped to keep Maya close. His chest tightened. Somewhere in this building, he thought, someone was going to put their concern into writing. Once that happened, it would not be a rumor anymore. It would be a file. He turned toward the office, trying to plan how he would defend his choices if anyone ever asked, and knowing that the question was no longer if they would ask, but when. The district supervisor arrived without warning. He walked in at 10:30 in the morning, right between a delivery drop and the morning rush, wearing a company jacket that still looked new. His name was Carter, and he did not bother with small talk. He flashed his badge at the front desk, nodded once, and asked where Jordan was. The tone made it clear this was not a courtesy visit. Jordan met him near the seasonal aisle, clipboard in hand, trying to look calm. The store smelled like cut flowers and bleach from an early spill cleanup. Carter scanned the floor the way people scan crime scenes, eyes slow and calculating, picking up small details that others missed. Empty end cap, overloaded pallet, a cashier looking away too fast. "Walk with me," he said. Jordan followed him through the aisles, answering questions that were short and sharp. Staffing levels, turnover, performance issues, scheduling constraints. Every response felt like stepping onto thin ice. Carter did not comment, did not react, only noted details on his tablet. They stopped near lane 5, where Maya was ringing customers. She saw them both and stiffened. Her smile reset for the next customer, but Jordan caught the way her hand trembled when she reached for the bag rack. Carter noticed too. "Who is that?" he asked. "One of our cashiers," Jordan said. "She's been solid since she started." Carter watched her another moment. "Good, I'll speak with a few team members today. Routine." Jordan felt the word routine lodge in his throat. Nothing about Carter's posture said routine. He looked like a man checking for cracks he already knew existed. As Carter moved on, Jordan turned toward the break room. Inside, two associates sat at the small table with styrofoam cups, pretending not to look at him. He walked past them to the bulletin board, trying to look like he was checking compliance posters. He could feel them watching him. One of them, a stalker named Renee, cleared his throat. "District here to talk schedules," he said. It wasn't a question. Jordan kept his voice steady. "He's reviewing operations." Renee exchanged a look with the other associate, a slow, knowing look. "Stuff's been uneven," Renee said. "People been saying it for weeks." Jordan turned away before he said something that would make things worse. He could feel the ground shifting and could not find a place to stand. Carter worked fast. By noon, he had spoken to 6 employees. He had spent 15 minutes observing lanes. He had reviewed the scheduling system on the office computer, tapping through calendar blocks without asking Jordan for help. Every click felt like a pulse of heat behind Jordan's ribs. He knew what Carter would see. Overlaps, patterns, shifts that looked convenient in the wrong way. Early afternoon brought the first clear sign that this was no longer informal. Carter called Jordan into the manager's office and closed the door. The hum of the cooler units made the silence feel heavier. "There are questions about your scheduling practices," he said. "Some team members raised concerns." Jordan swallowed hard. "Concerns about what?" "Favoritism, equity of shifts, assignments, tone after the relationship ended." Jordan froze. The words "after the relationship ended" hit him like a blow. "You spoke with Maya," he said. "Not yet. Her turn will come." He tried to steady himself. "I can explain the schedule. She's one of my strongest performers." Carter's expression did not change. "That may be true, but perception is part of the workplace environment. When multiple staff describe a pattern, we have to validate it." Jordan heard the subtext. "Allegations are forming. If the team's version solidifies, the burden shifts to you." Carter stood. "I'm escalating this to HR. They will determine whether a formal investigation is necessary." Jordan felt the floor tilt under him. He had known this moment was coming, but the speed of it still knocked the air from his chest. "I haven't done anything improper," he said. "That will be assessed," Carter replied. "Document your scheduling rationale for the last 3 months. HR will ask for it." Jordan nodded, unable to speak. Carter opened the door and walked out, leaving the office quiet and cramped. Jordan stood alone, staring at the schedule screen, seeing every decision he had defended twist into a potential violation. Outside, whispers grew louder. In the next hour, 2 associates went into the office to meet with Carter. One left with her arms crossed tight, jaw set. Another walked out, avoiding Jordan's eyes. Near 3 o'clock, a break room conversation leaked into the hallway. "He gave her Saturdays, every one of them. And the service desk, nobody gets that fast. I heard they were close. I heard more than that." Jordan felt each voice like pressure on his spine. He turned to see Maya walk past, her face blank, her pace quick. She didn't slow when he called her name. "Maya, we need to talk." "Not now," she said without looking back. One of the cashiers raised her brows as she watched the exchange. Jordan stepped into the stockroom to breathe. The air was warm and dry, and the concrete floor carried a faint rattle from the pallets. He leaned against the wall and tried to run the facts cleanly. He had not meant to give her unfair advantages. He had not meant for their personal life to bleed into operations. But intention didn't matter once district escalated. HR handled things by impact, not explanation. Near 4 o'clock, Carter found him again. "I have a written statement you need to be aware of," he said. Jordan's stomach dropped. "From who?" "A team member who claims your relationship influenced scheduling. They allege that Maya received favorable hours during the period you were involved." Jordan's hands went cold. "That's not accurate." Carter nodded once. "You'll have a chance to respond. HR will review the statement." Jordan forced himself to breathe. "What happens next?" "For now, this remains informal, but if HR validates the concern, it becomes formal. You should prepare for that possibility." It was the midpoint shift in every investigation, the turn where rumor grew a backbone, where a half-truth became a working theory, where the burden left the accuser and settled on him. When Carter left for the evening, the store felt colder. Jordan walked the aisles, trying to steady himself. Every side glance from staff felt like judgment. Every unfinished task looked like a mark against his control. By the time closing neared, Jordan knew one thing with certainty. This wasn't going to stay informal. The written statement had changed everything. HR would be involved. Once they stepped in, the investigation would not belong to him anymore. He shut off the front lights and locked the doors, hearing the click echo through the empty store. Tomorrow, HR would come. Tonight, the questions had already begun to count against him. HR arrived early, before the morning huddle, before the store woke up enough to hide its tension. Two representatives stepped through the automatic doors with quiet, practiced movements. One carried a slim laptop case. The other held a folder thick enough to mean trouble. They greeted no one. They asked for no tour. They asked where the office was and went straight there. Jordan watched from the service desk. His throat felt tight. The store around him moved in slow, uneasy motions. Cashiers logged in. Stockers pushed pallets. The air held a kind of hush that stores only get when everyone senses something serious, but no one wants to speak first. 10 minutes later, HR called him in. He sat across from them in the cramped office. The hum of the cooler units behind the wall made the room feel even smaller. The lead rep opened her laptop. Her voice was even, steady. "We've reviewed preliminary statements from district and several team members. We're now conducting a formal inquiry." Jordan nodded once. "We'll be looking at 3 primary areas," she continued. "Shift assignments, task distribution, and conduct during and after your acknowledged relationship with Maya." He felt the phrasing hit. Acknowledged relationship. They were no longer asking whether it happened. They were establishing it as fact. "We'll begin with schedules," she said. She turned the laptop toward him. A calendar filled the screen. 3 months of shifts, color-coded by role and availability. His name appeared on every manager block. Maya's name appeared on most of the premium shifts. "Explain the rationale for these patterns," she said. Jordan breathed in. She was consistent, strong performer, on time, reliable. The rep clicked to another view. Several team members with equal tenure were scheduled fewer prime shifts. "They had conflicts," he said, "availability issues, some requested mornings." She folded her hands. "We have their availability forms. Most were open for evenings." Heat crawled up his neck. "Next," she said, sliding the folder open. Inside were notes from interviews, typed summaries, time-stamped observations. Each page seemed to carry a weight. "Multiple staff reported that you appeared closer to Maya than other employees. Some believe this influenced your decisions." Jordan shook his head. "I never changed a schedule because of our relationship." The rep nodded. "Intentional or not, the impact is what matters." He looked down, breathing slow. "Now we need to discuss the period after the relationship ended," she said. "Several employees allege a change in tone from you. They describe tension on the floor, reduced communication, heightened scrutiny." "That wasn't directed at her," he said. I was under pressure. Staffing was tight. We understand, she said, but perception shapes environment. If staff felt targeted or unsettled, we have to assess whether your conduct contributed. She closed the folder. We'll need Maya's statement next. Jordan's chest tightened. Has she said anything so far? Not formally, the rep said, but she agreed to speak today. They dismissed him to the break room. He sat alone at the table, hands clasped. The room felt too bright. The buzzing of the lights sounded louder than usual. Every minute felt like waiting for a verdict. Through the small window in the office door, he saw Maya step inside. She didn't look his way. Her back was straight, her movements controlled. She took a seat across from HR. Their conversation ran long. He tried not to listen, but every faint shift in tone felt sharp. At one point, the rep leaned forward. Maya nodded once. At another, she lifted her hands as if explaining something complicated. Once, she paused for a long time before speaking. Finally, she stepped out. Her eyes met his for a second. Not angry, not apologetic, just tired. He stood. She shook her head gently. They asked what happened. I told the truth. What truth? He asked, voice low. That we were involved, that the store changed after we ended it, that people noticed. That's not favoritism, he said. I told them that too, she said. I told them I didn't ask for any special shifts. I told them I didn't get anything I demanded, but I also told them the way people looked at us. You can't ignore that anymore. She walked past him and left the break room. A moment later, HR called him back inside. The second rep, who had barely spoken earlier, opened a document. We've reviewed your explanation, the schedules, the team statements, and Maya's account. We have concerns about judgment and boundary maintenance. Jordan's stomach dropped. We do not find evidence of intentional manipulation of the schedule, she said. Maya confirmed she did not request or pressure you for favorable treatment. A breath escaped him. However, she continued, your decisions did create a perception of favoritism. This harmed team trust and contributed to a hostile environment after the breakup. He swallowed. What does that mean for me? We're issuing a final written warning for conduct affecting workplace equity. You will also be removed from scheduling authority for the next cycle. District management will oversee your development plan. He felt both relief and humiliation hit at once. Not termination, not a career-ending mark, but a blow that would follow him for years. You may remain in your role, she said, but you are expected to rebuild credibility with your team. Any further concerns could result in separation. Jordan nodded slowly. Understood. They closed the session. HR left the store quietly, the same way they arrived. When Jordan stepped back onto the floor, the air felt different. Staff glanced his way, unsure what the outcome had been. He walked the aisles with a measured pace, greeting each person, checking tasks, pretending to be steady. Maya worked lane 4. She didn't look at him, but she also didn't avoid him. There was a new distance, but not the sharp one from before. Something settled. Not peace, not closure, just acknowledgement. As the shift wound down, Jordan stood at the front of the store, watching the last customers pay and leave. The automatic doors opened and closed in steady rhythm. The lights flickered against the polished floor. He knew the cost now, not losing the job. Something heavier, the trust of a team, the clean line between management and staff, the belief that he could keep personal life away from professional decisions. When the closing music faded and the doors locked for the night, Jordan stood in the quiet and took the weight fully. This time there was no whispering, no glances, no suspicion in the air, only consequence.